The Veiled One by Ruth Rendell, read by Robin Bailey. Wexford had entered at this point by the automatic doors and approached from the glass-covered way. He'd gone up the escalator where a breath of spray stung his fingers on the handrail, realized at the top that the shop he sought must be downstairs after all. Was not Suzanne the hairdresser who also sold wigs and leotards, or linen that shows, or lace works, and went down again by the escalator to the mandala. This was a set piece in the area at the other end, with potted plants in concentric circles. Brown chrysanthemums, yellow chrysanthemums, white poinsettias, and those plants with cherry-like orange fruit that are really a kind of potato. The crowds were thinning out. It was getting on for six when the centre closed up. Shop assistants were weary and growing impatient, and even the flowers looked tired. A Tesco superstore filled the whole crosspiece of the eye on both floors at this end, British Home Stores the other. Between them was Boots the Chemist, with W.H. Smith facing it, the mandala in between. Down a side passage that led from the main above-ground car park, children still played on a fat zebra made of black and white leather, a high-tech climbing frame, a dragon on wheels. Wexford found the shop where Dora, a week ago, had pointed out to him in the window a sweater she liked. Addresses, it was called, with the chocolate shop next to it and a woolen crafts place, knits and kits, on the other side. Wexford was not a man to hesitate or deliberate over a matter like this. Besides, Demeter, the health food shop opposite, was already closing, and the jewellers next to it were lowering the fancy gilt latticework bars inside the window. He went into Addresses and bought the sweater, the transaction taking 4 minutes. By now, shoppers were being hustled out, even Grub and Grains, the cafe having someone suspiciously like a bouncer on its door. And the lights were dimming, the leaping spouts of the fountain slowing, subsiding, until the ruffled surface of the pool into which it played became glass-like. Wexford sat down on one of the wrought-iron benches that were ranged along the aisle. He let the crowd make its way out through the various arteries that led from this central column, and then he too left by the automatic doors into the covered way. A great exodus of cars from the above-ground car parks was underway. At the far end, he looked back. Flags flew from all the turrets along the centre.